The year of Yom HaTzavah Manoach is very shocking. Okay? What I mean by that is the following. Okay? It starts off like Yom Shabbat Lina in the Shkayim, Zichroi Kareach, and Koach. Shabbat is a beautiful smell like the Korbanos. Yom HaTzavah Manoach, Hashem Yanuchi Yechayach. So the first stanza refers to the Yaina. The Yaina of the table, of the marble, goes out, finds the Manoach. So the first stanza starts off talking about Shabbos and the Malach. Then we, all of a sudden, we take a big jump. And we go from Parshas Noach to Parshas Yisra. And we go, Hayoyim Nichbos of Nei Amunim, Tehirim L'Shom Roi Ogo Subonim, Chokuk Bishnei Luchos Avonim, Eirim V'Oinim V'Amit Tzayim. We say that today is the day of keeping Shabbos. It's Chokuk Bishnei Luchos Avonim. What does Chokuk mean? It's engraved in the two tablets of stone in the Luchos. Meirav Oinim Ba'amit Tayach from HaKadosh Baruch. So all of a sudden we switched from the marble to Matan Torah. And then we keep on going. Uvol Chulam B'Vityach Ad Nasa V'Dishma Omuti Echod Ufos Chubi Ono Hashem Echod Baruch HaNoitim L'Yayis Kayach. And we go back and we continue talking about Matan Torah. About Matan Torah, there was Nasa V'Dishma and Hashem Echod. Divir Kotcho Bahar Amor, Har Amor is one of the other names for Har Chore, for Har Maria. Again, Matan Torah, Yom Mashri, Zohar B'Shomer, right, Shabbos at Matan Torah, Chol Kulav Yachad Digmor, Lulav Torah, Chazik Masnayim, the Amitz Koch. And then we end the fifth stanza, for Om Asher Noah Katzom Ta'a, the nation which is traveling, which is wandering around, Yizkor Lefokto, the Bris of Shvua, we should be reminded of the Bris and the Shvua, Lavali Yavor, Vamikra Ra, Kashem Shvata, Almei Noach. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore by Noach. So if we examine the Zmira, we have like this. This is probably so okay. Are there more sheets anywhere? Everyone? Does anyone not have? Okay, I need 45. So, sorry. Okay, if people would share, whatever. I'll make more afterwards. So if we examine the Zmira, There were five stanzas, which by the way spells the name. What names of the five stanzas spell?
Yehuda.
Yehuda, right? So those, all five of them talk about Shabbos. One and five talk about the marble. And two, three, and four talk about Matan Torah. And like I said, it's very Shabbos because Shabbos eats cholent. How do you make cholent? You take whatever you find, you throw it in the pot, and you come out with cholent, right? Take whatever you want, right? Throw it into the zmira, take the model, take Matan Torah, and shine, you have a zmira for Shabbos. What in the world is going on? So I want to put all three of these ideas together and explain what's going on in the zmira. Explain the Maharal. I'll explain it. Let's read it inside, then I'll explain it outside. Explain the Maharal. You have the Maharal, right? Explain the Maharal. V'lav hachi. Moshe hu gover al hamayim. Lo amayim al Moshe v'lo yuchlu lo ulakach nikro Moshe. Al shein ki min amayim mishisim. Okay, says the Maharal the following. Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the Makabal Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the epitome of Klal Yisrael, his name is called because he's removed from the water. By the way, where is Moshe Rabbeinu mentioned in Parshas Noach? Two places, actually. Two Ramazim. What's the connection between Parshas Noach, the story of the marble, and Moshe Rabbeinu? They're both in the Teva, and what does Rashi tell us? About the inside and the outside and the way that they're made, right? So it's not just by accident that both Moshe Rabbeinu and the time of the marble, there's a Teva, and Rashi makes a point. Rashi's not interested in the engineering of how you build a Teva, right? The way Moshe Rabbeinu would not have been traumatized for life if there would have been such a not beautiful smell when he was 3 months old, right? Yesh lach shov al Rashi ezeh. You know, it's not just stop, Rashi tells us. Okay? That's number one. Where's the other one? The other one is actually Gemara, but it's a little bit more esoteric. The Gemara says, Lo yodun ruchi, the pasuk says, Lo yodun ruchi ba'adam v'shegam hu basar. Right? This is a strange Gemara. The Gemara says like this. Esther in the Torah v'nayim. Where we see Esther in the Torah? Badochi aster asir ponayim. Haman min ha-Torah minayin, shenemar, hamin ha-ein. And then the Gemara says a few other parts. The Gemara is not going to all of it. The Gemara says, Moshe min ha-Torah minayin. Where do we find Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah? I would ask a different question. There are zombies why Moshe Rabbeinu was there, right? And if our answer is, you know why Moshe Rabbeinu was there? The Pasuk says, "Dishigam hu basar v'hayu yama male v'etrus." Dishigam is gematria, right? You got the shin and the mem, or the shin and the mem of Moshe. Beis and Gimel make hay. Dishigam is gematria Moshe. It's the part from the end of Parshas Bereishis, where we're like, "It's Rabbi Yochanan Hashem al Shasas Adam, but Yomer Hashem lo Yodin Ruchi ba'Adam b'Shigam u'Basar, v'Hayu Yomav Me'el ve'Esher." Okay, but at the end of Bereishis, where that's the introduction to the Zera of the Mabul. So we find Moshe Rabbeinu in the Mabul over here also. We're not explaining 100% what this Gemara is referring to, but just what over here the Maral is saying that Moshe Rabbeinu is called that he's removed from the water. Moshe Rabbeinu's name, the name that we use is Moshe Rabbeinu is Min HaMayim Mishisi. Anyone know any other Moshe Rabbeinu's names, by the way? Tovia, Avigdor, Yekusiel, right? Avisocho, yeah.
How is the same
Gemara?
The Shem is
a man, and then the Kappen Gimel was a man. Bishay Gimel, sorry, I don't write too well. I was supposed to be a doctor, but I ended up teaching very instead, but I still have a doctor program. So explain to Mara why is this. Because there, all of this is because Kimayshu Kadesh Ish Elokim Lagamri Nivdal Menachayner by Mayim and Chomim Ve'en Vem Tzura Klal L'misho Yovin Inyan Amayim U'Madrigo. Okay, and Baruch Hashem, one of Mechola's best teachers left a few years ago, so now I can talk about certain things. Because we're very strict in Mechola, you know, different teachers only allowed to talk about different things. So I wasn't allowed to talk about Maral in the Chalal for many years because Rory Hartman used to teach Maral. Now that he left, I can talk about the Maral. So one of the biggest insights in the Maral is the concept of Chaymer and Tzura. Okay? People have come and learned this? Shh. Right? The concept of Chaymer and Tzura. Everything in the world starts with the Chaymer, with material, stuff, things, right? And what the way that we use in the world is through the tzura. For example, I can have a piece of wood, which is the chaymer, and I can have the tzura of a table. I would say I can have the tzura of a chair, but our chairs are plastic. I can have the tzura of a shtender. I can have the tzura of a baseball bat. Right? In other words, the difference in the world starts with chaymer, and we don't make chaymer. We take the chaymer that Kosh Baruch Hu gives us, and we form it into the tzura in order to make it something useful. The more permanent the tzura is, the more powerful the tzura is, the greater is the object that you've created. So everything in the world is a combination of chaymer and tzura. But there's one basic building block of the world that can't get a tzura. That is mayim, liquid. Right? What tzura does water have? It has the tzura of whatever container it's inside. I can't carve water, I can't shape water, I try to make water into something special, I can't. Water is chaymer without tzura. Not only is water chaymer without tzura, water is something that if I put a tzura into it, what does the water do to it? It dissolves it and it disappears. Right? That's what happens. The other way when we talk about in Tanakh about chomer is there's a particular animal which represents the most chomer thing in the world. What animal do you think it is? A chamor, right? And that's why throughout Tanakh, what did tzaddikim ride on? They ride on chamorim, right? Don't just now the chamor that Avram and Moshe and ultimately the Mashiach are going to ride on doesn't just mean the donkey. Has anyone ever been up north in the Galil? There's a donkey riding place, right? Yeah. If anyone hasn't been there, maybe you'll get a chance to go there. Gaval's the place. But Lamaisa, we all have a donkey to ride. You know which donkey we all have to ride? Our own chamor, our own guf, our own chomrius, our own gashmius. Okay, we have our own physical part of ourselves. And our goal is to take our tzura of a ben adam. Now, there's a few places in Shas when they want to talk about people who are kosher, they say, anoshim shel tzurah. They're people with a tzurah. A person with a tzurah, what does that mean? It means a person who has principles, a person who has ekronot, and they don't change. A tshura, that always changes. Is it really a tshura? Right? It's not a tshura, because it's not there. It's not something that's solid. The goal of a person is to take your chomer and give it the tshura of the tshura. That's what a person is supposed to do. There's a famous story, I think I might have even said it already, of the bet. They say it in two places. I heard it on two different, either the bet between you and an Eishitz or the Rambam and the local gun about the cat. People know the story?
Yes.
There was a bet. The guy to the guy priest, whatever time it, that there's no difference between a human and an animal. You take an animal and make it into a human. So the bet was that in 6 months the cat will serve dinner at a meal. He'll be the waiter serving dinner. So 6 months later, I think that I heard about the other fashion. I think it's also about the rabbi. It doesn't make a difference. The story, the Nakut is what's important. He comes to the dinner and the cat is wearing, you know, the cat is wearing, well, talking tail. The cat always wears a tail, but okay, right? The cat is dressed up, he's wearing a waiter's uniform, he brings out the first course, the second course, and the main course. And whoever it was, again, it's nice, brought in a little box. And the cat is about to serve the grand finale, you know, the flaming dessert with the brandy on it. He's carrying it in, standing on his hind legs. And the other side just opens the box. And the mouse jumps out. And the cat throws the dessert one way, rips off his clothes, gets down on all four, and goes chasing after the mouse. Said to the other side, it's a cat and a cat. Meaning, we're the same way. In other words, when we really have a choice in the world. Are we riding our donkey? Or is our donkey riding us? You ever been at a chasna in New York City?
Yeah. Okay.
And the end of the chasna is they bring out dessert. How do they bring out dessert? On a, what they call a Viennese table. Anyone ever stand in between the people at the dessert table?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? It's dangerous, right? Oh, you should be close to that fish to be. In other words, at that point, are you riding your donkey or is your donkey riding you? At that point, the donkey's riding you. You're a chamar, and whatever tzura of a ben adam you had, you've lost. The goal in life is a person to take their chomer and give it a tzura. What tzura are we supposed to give ourselves? We're supposed to give ourselves the tzura of the Torah. The Torah is the tzura that we're supposed to have. If you ever heard the phrase, right? He has the tzura of a ben adam. Doesn't just mean that he wears his borscht lino tilted the right way. Person who has a tshura of a ben tshura is a person who, wherever you see him, he's acting the way the tshura gives him a tshura. That's what a person is supposed to have. Moshe Rabbeinu is pulled out of the water. He's begamri nizom in achomer, because the water is chomri. The water is something that's kulo chomer and has no tshura whatsoever. And Moshe Rabbeinu is a person who's removed from the water who has a complete tshura. And that's why, when it says the Shagam Hubasa, when we mention Moshe Rabbeinu within the context of the table, within the context of the marble, because at the time of the marble, what happened was, the world lost its tzura completely. Let's just read a little bit more. Ulekach mash'amar b'tzchus Moshe, ki yo'elam azeh mucho l'ma'al al-yayah. In a certain, the world is meant to be l'chomer, that when the Torah comes, it's supposed to give it the proper tzura. Moshe Rabbeinu became all tzura and came out no chomer whatsoever. The davar that Moshe l'lamayim achomorim, atchuloya mabul gaver olam lahaftin akol. Ki mashemuchar olam azeh tzura akus eno miyach tekla. The matan Torah is the opposite of a mabul. A mabul is a place where there's no tzura, and matan Torah gives tzura. As the Shem Yishmuel says, Hinei Yisrael Nikru, says the Shem Yishmuel, not only is Moshe Rabbeinu called Minamayim Shisiu, one of the names for Klal Yisrael is we're called Ivri. Ivri means She'ovar Yom. We went over the ocean. Says the Shem Yishmuel, V'tam Yishlomar, Ki Mitzrayim Im Chomer O'Elah. Mitzrayim is completely Chomer. The Yisrael Im Tzura. V'yudum dimri maral ki mayim heim b'machem es atzura k'mo sh'nemar b'dor ha'mabu v'yim mochu min ha'aretz. V'akim Yisrael sh'yotum yimitzrayim yisigu malo k'tzura nidelem. Maisa, story that I heard. I heard of two different versions of it. Well, I'll tell one version, okay? Version goes like this, okay? By the way, if my wife tells the story, like, well, you've never heard it before. It goes like this. There were two bachurim, I think, from Lakewood, who were in a shopping mall. somewhere near Lakewood, and a woman walked out of a store that they were walking into, dressed very well, or should I say more clearly, undressed very well, okay? And the two bachelors walked by, and when they saw a woman coming to them dressed, undressed, very not sneezing, they turned away and looked the other way, what a person is obligated to do. The woman was shocked. She went over to a mirror and looked. She couldn't see, she's like, every man who walks by me looks at me, and then looks a second time. Did I, like, spill something ugly on myself? Did I forget to, like, she went over to look in the mirror, like, maybe there's something wrong with me. Like, why are these guys not looking at me? She said, I don't know, I'm dressed the way every other man looks at me. She went over to them and said, excuse me, can you tell me why you looked away? Okay? Because someone else recently told me a similar story. They were checking in at an airport somewhere in Europe, like the end of somewhere, and the woman, the ticket agent said, I see you're an Orthodox Jew. Can you explain to me why those people like the funny hat and the crows, when they talk to me, they don't look directly at me? No, she was at night. So she goes up and says, can you explain to me what you found in me? Mara Isim Biyoga. Why did you look at me? Everyone else looks at me. Okay? Woman has a very serious ego problem, but okay. So they explained to her. They said, no, it's not meant to be in any way to make you, you know, to hurt you. It's just that everyone looks at you because they're not in control of themselves. And we're trying to learn to control our animal instincts. And we're working on that. She was so amazed there exists such a Matthias in the world, she ended up being Magaya.
Wow.
Okay? That's the
way. How many times have you heard this story told?
You know what they say about Chassidus Shemayim? Okay? You believe all of them, you're a fool. You believe none of them, you're an apikaios. You know, if you think about it, it's true. In other words, if a person is an honest person, and they realize that there exists in the world the possibility of a person who's actually not an animal, they want to be part of that. Right? Think about it. A four-year-old kid is in the supermarket. How do they set up the candies in the supermarket? Right where a four-year-old kid can grab it and force his mother to buy it by throwing a tantrum. Right? You ever notice that? And a kid pulls candies off the thing and says, Mommy, Ima, I want. And she says, I'm sorry you can't. It doesn't have a good hashgacha. The four-year-old kid puts it back on the shelf. Can you imagine? If you think about it, it's Meir Rabbeinu. It's Meir Rabbeinu. It's unbelievable. Okay? So, whether the story is 100% true or 90% true, or she said she was willing to move a guy here, that's not the point. The point is that the Torah gives us, we're all a chamor. We all come together with the dungeon. What gives the world the tzura is the Torah. And a person who doesn't have the tzura of the Torah is a donkey. And you can be the President of the United States, the most important person in the world, who reached the pinnacle of everything, and your donkey can pick you up and run away with you, then you can end up almost being impeached. Right? Mice and Beholio. Yeah.
But isn't it always compared to water?
That's a different aspect, okay? That's the aspect of the aspect of the Torah of the Anibus of the Torah. Okay? But in the terms of the Chaymer and Tzura, everything in the world of Mice comes from the Torah. We're talking about this aspect of the Torah in terms of the Tzura. See, the Torah is so strong that it even gives Mayim Tzura. Okay, that's the Chiddush of the Torah. That it even gives Mayim Tzura. That's why when Klai Yisrael crosses the Yom Tzur, the water gets a Tzura. The Mayim Lem Chayma, we mean over the Tzura. No, the Torah can even give Mayim Tzura. But you know what? The Torah can only give Mayim Tzura. The Torah can even give a Chamorah Tzura. The Torah can take a person, can take a Odom, Pera, Odom, Yulad, and give it a Tzura. What was the chait in the time of the Mabul? The chait in the Mabul was, Ki hishnit kol basar es darko al arz. In the time of the Mabul, they were Isaac Biznus. Right? Meaning they were Chamayrim. They didn't have any Tzura whatsoever. So what was the punishment that they received? What's the Einish you get, the Mida Kineged Mida, when you have no Tzura whatsoever? Comes along a Mabul, comes along water, and dissolves your tzura completely, that there's nothing left of you. What does it say in the pasuk? Vayimach is kol yikum. It wipes it out. All the tzura in the world, all the people in the world, lose their tzura completely. There's no tzura left of them whatsoever. And the world, the truth is, and the Torah, the Matan Torah, is the exact opposite. and give the world the Torah. For example, that's why we say at the end of Mizmor L'David, Hashem l'amadu yashar, v'yeshev Hashem melech li'aylah, Hashem oiv li'amo yitein, Hashem yivarech et amal ha'shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by Matan Torah, do it the same thing. In other words, there are two parallel ideas found in the Torah. One says that at the time when the water began to fall in the marble, the people have gone outside and said, oh no, Noah is correct, we were wrong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we do tshuva. The water of the marble would have turned into the water, the mayim of the Torah, and it would have been Kabbalah the Torah. And the cave of Noah would have been the cave of Moshe. The other Chazal said that if Klal Yisrael Lamad the Torah wouldn't have accepted the Torah, Hashem lo mabul yasha. The world would have, there would have been a mabul, and the world would have been wiped out. In other words, the world always stands between these two choices. Are we going to take the psura of the Torah and apply it to the world? Or if we don't, then, and we don't apply the Tzura to the world, so then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you're not going to live as a Tzura, neither can neged neither, your Tzura is going to be wiped out completely. So therefore, that's the idea of the connection, if we're looking for it, between the Mabul and Matan Torah. Okay? Yeah?
How is it possible that Hashem will bring another Mabul?
He promised Noah. It wouldn't have been a Mabul, but it would have been... It would have been, as it says, right? It would have been a different destruction of the world, right? Probably so would have said no, so that would have been it. Okay? The truth of the Gemara is, the Gemara even said that the Umos are Olam felt at time of Matan Torah. That's what it is, Hashem Olam Abu Yosha. Okay? So therefore, this, if we start, this is the connection with, in between Matan Torah and the Mabul in this idea. In other words, the Mabul came about as a result of the world losing its Tzura completely. Right? They don't want to have any Tzura whatsoever. Shem says, if so, you're going to be destroyed. And the Torah then returns and gives the world back the Tzura that they're supposed to have. Okay. What does this have to do with the Yoyim? So there are a number of Midrashim. For example, you have the Rashi in Tehillim. So after the Shem Yishmuel, there's a Tisei Kayin on Shmos, and then there's a Rashi on Tehillim. See the Rashi on Tehillim?
It didn't come out.
It didn't come out. It stops. It starts with Al-Titein L'Chayat. Do you have that?
No.
Oh, it didn't come out. Oh, well. Okay, I'm sorry. There's a Rashi in Tehillim, in Parakayim Dalla Pasukutet. It says the following. Al-Titein L'Chayat, it says over there, Torecha. V'yayis and Tirgim L'Shem Tayimu B'nei Yonah. Hatorah Zem Yishmeis HaZochar. Ben zuva ena mizagzeges la'acher. Af yisroel lech lifucha b'keel acher, af pi shirachak v'lehem v'hayu ka'almon. Chazal say, Rashi's quoting from Targum Yainis, and it's also mentioned in Derech Agav. In other Mamori Chazal, the Yaina, the dove, has very special characteristics. Okay? I'm not an ornithologist, I'm not an expert in birds. If anyone wants to go out and check whether this is true in the literature, it doesn't interest me. Well, I mean, I can explain why, but that's not the point. Chazal say the yayna is a mashal for an animal which is mizdaveg with its ben zug. They find their spouse once, and when one of them dies, the other one doesn't go looking for another spouse. They're connected to their spouse completely, not in any way whatsoever do they join with anyone else. And the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Kodesh Baruch Hu is that relationship. That's the lashon of the pasuk that we say twice in Shir HaShirim, yaynasi tamasi. Al tikri tamasi elotu umasi. What? The Rashi is in Tehillim in Parakai Dala Pasuk Tetz, and the Pasuk in Jerushim is Yonasi tamasi. Al tikri tamasi elotu umasi. It's Medrash Rabbah in a number of different places that says that. So therefore, Klal Yisrael is the, first of all, the Yaina itself represents in the world the correct zivug between a man and a woman. That they give each other a chaymer and a tzura, they join together, that can never be broken. And our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was meant to be that same relationship, together with the yayna, that we join with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Without HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't go looking for anything else, we're only connected to Hashem. Why? Yeah. To umasi means like a twin, right? We reflect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we only want to be connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Is anyone here a twin? You have a twin brother, right? Okay. Say. Okay. Lamaisa. So look, there's a mob. The mob of the world is destroyed. Why was the world destroyed? Because Hishim's kabbalah are dark all on. When the marvel is over, it means that the world is now ready to recreate itself without the hashchosa that existed before, but in a way that there won't be a second marvel. Who does Noach choose to send out to find whether or not the world is ready to be re-inhabited? He sends out a yoina. Why? Because the yoina represents that kind of zivu, that kind of connection, that there's no znus in it whatsoever. There's no incorrect chibur in any way whatsoever. So therefore, only when the yayna comes back, or the yayna stays, and says, okay, I found that the world is appropriate for the habitation of a creature that doesn't have any tzad whatsoever of any znus, then Noach knows that the marvel is over, and the world is ready to be re-inhabited. Follow? What? Can I repeat it? When Noah sent, the end of the marble is that the world is meant, in the hashchasa of the world was destroyed and wiped away, and now the world is ready to be re-inhabited and repopulated in a way of Kedusha Vatara, where there's a zivu. Which animal has the sense of knowing that the world is now ready for zivu in the correct way? So Noah chooses the yoyah. Because the yayna is that animal that has only one zivug in its entire life, and if its partner dies or is killed, so that it doesn't go looking for another partner. Meaning the tzura, the chayner and the tzura of the yayna is joined together in only one correct way. So therefore, the animal which represents that is the yayna. Therefore, Chazal, the Torah itself, Tanakh, and Chazal choose as a representation of the connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Yoyna, Yoyna Tamasi. So now, yeah?
So how is he able to resist before the Mabo when I'm involved?
It wasn't easy for him to resist. That's why there needed to be a Mabo. Okay? That's why there needed to be a Mabo. Who else he needed to resist? Yeah?
Why are you trying to
say there's an O? There's a pre-sabbat about it. Reb Sozin talked about it. I don't want to go into it. But every time before something works, it's like letting everybody be vocal. There's the intent, and then there's the right way of doing it. Okay? It's part of the same concept, but whatever. I don't want to go into that. I don't have the Rutsubic here, but the Rutsubic that talks about explains why the Ayurveda came first, because the Ayurveda is the exact opposite. The Ayurveda is Mizane. The Ayurveda lets other people take care of his children. The Gemara even says that when the Gemara wants to talk about someone who doesn't care about his own children, he says he's acting like an Ori. An Ori is a raven, a crow. Okay? So that's what it's referring to. So the Ori is Esav, who's born first, and the Yain is Klai Yisrael, who comes after. So there's always an Esav before you get to Klai Yisrael, even at this point over here too. Okay? That's what Rabsoda says, but I don't want to go into it too much. Okay? But that's the basic idea. Okay, but he does bring that idea out.
Why
would
he
send me out the Ori? Because that's the same way who created the world, by Erev Yivok. In other words, there's always, the world is created in the way of Choshech and then Or.
Right, but the result of the reason why I
think
I was going to
say
there's so much
Chet
that
he has the world. Okay, whatever. I'm not going to go into that. Okay? You're right. It's a good question. Like I said, Rutsal deals with it. I can't deal with it. Okay? I can show you where to look if you want to, but I don't want to go into it. So now, if we look at this mirror, we have the following. The mirror starts off like this. Yayna matzah v'ayim anayach, right? Yom Shabbos day in Chol Chol Shabbos. Yichra koreach and yichoch, yayna matzah v'ayim anayach, v'shom yinuch yigiyei kayach. The zivu is about, the mirror is about the connection between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is reflected in the world. Okay? The ikur place of connection between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu after the Torah, or after Matan Torah, is Shabbos. Shabbos is called the chasme between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Shabbos is a symbol of the connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos is, that's why, for example, what people have a minute and what sacred they lay in as Shabbos begins, Shir Shir, which is all about the zivug between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? That's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is that connection that exists between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, what we really sing is the following, and this is the idea of what we're trying to say. Yom Shabbos is Shabbos. Yom Motzav Omanayach. There's a whole discussion in the Mefarshei Hasbiros where there's a source that the Yaina actually found its resting place on Shabbos. We don't know. I think it's Rabbi Levi who wrote this mirror. He has some guidance source. Now, that's not where I want to go into, but they say. So therefore, the Yaina finds its resting place on Shabbos. That means the Mabul is over, and the Tzur, the world is now ready to re-accept the Tzur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We call Yisrael, Hayad Nichbad Lidli Amunim on Shabbos, we're the hero of the Shabbos of Rusavadim. It's the day Shabbos is engraved in the Luchos. The idea of engraving something is, the engraving is the ultimate Tzur. In other words, when I carve something, in other words, when I want to talk about something that's long-lasting and never going to change, it's carved in stone. Carving into stone is the ultimate tzura that exists in the world. So therefore, we say Shabbos is carved into the Luchos, because Shabbos is what gives us our tzura of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So after the Mabul, when Klai Yisrael is Makabel Torah, we create a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's Chokuk, that's carved in, through the Shabbos, which is the ziva between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as it goes on, and all of this is about the connection that exists between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the idea of Matan Torah, as Matan Torah is the antidote to the Mabul. Matan Torah is the Tzura of Klal Yisrael that now it can never be wiped out. And then we go back and we end the Klal Yisrael, which should be Zokh L'Fokh T'Brit Shmua, that nothing bad should happen to us like the way you were swore by the Mabul. There won't be any more destruction of the world. Therefore, why do we, Klai Yisrael, request that? Because we have accepted ourselves the Tzura of the Torah. We have crossed over the Yam. Not only did we cross over the Yam, we gave the Yam a Tzura. So the Zera, the Shmua that you gave by Matan Torah, by the Mabul, should apply to us that nothing should ever happen to us again. So if we say it, Shabbos is the ziva between Klai Yisrael and Kodesh Baruch Hu, is that we accepted Surah of Hashem, we accepted that Surah at Matan Torah, and that is the antidote to what happened at the Mabul when the Surah of the world was destroyed. So that's why these three things go together in terms of this meal. Everyone with me? Everyone clear?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
The Zmira is saying the following. Shabbos is the chasna, the ziva between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It comes, that chasna comes through Matan Torah, and that acceptance of the Torah in Klal Yisrael, that we take our chomel, our chamor, and we're mishabi it to the surah of the Torah, is the antidote to the Mabul, which was the destruction of surah of the people who allowed themselves to be chomer with no surah whatsoever. That's the whole idea in one big sense. Okay? Now, there's one other theme that repeats itself throughout this mirror, which is the lack of chayach. We say, v'sham yanuchu yigiei choach, those who are lacking in strength should rest. Baruch ha'noitein le'yoyev koach, chazik masnayim ha'amit koach, strengthen us and we should have strength. And the whole last stanza is about the goals. Those who are wandering, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember us, that nothing bad should happen to us, as you said, al-me'noch. What does all this have to do with the Gemara? So there is a Maisa in the Gemara that tells us the following. It says like this. It says, Pam Achos, one time, the Malchus Romeo Rishon, the Romans made Xer on Klal Yisrael. And they said, ever put on tefillin, what they will do is, they'll take off your tefillin, and they're going to drill a hole in your skull right where the tefillin were. Okay? You're going to be executed for wearing tefillin. There was someone by the name of Elisha. Not Elisha ben Avuya, not Elisha ben Navi, someone else by the name of Elisha at that time, who would wear his tefillin. He refused to not wear his tefillin. Lamaites nowadays are only going to wear tefillin in davening, but when the Ikra did, tefillin were meant to be worn all day. But Elisha menicha, the Yitzel Shuk, he not only wore them, he would go outside and wear his tefillin outside. Ra'ol kasdor echad, one Roman soldier saw him. So I'm wearing his tefillin. Rus mifada, v'rus achor. Elisha ran away, and the Roman ran after him. V'kima she'giya etzlo, when the Roman caught it, so Elisha took off his tefillin and held him in his hand. Omar lo. So the Roman says to him, I got you, Jew, now. Maze biyodo. What is in your hand? Omar lo, he responded, Kanfe yoyna. The wings of a dove. Why not the neck of a giraffe or the trunk of an elephant? He said, the wings of a dove. Parshat et yodo, he opened up his hand. Vinitsu kanfe yoyna. And they found that in his hands, instead of the tefillin, were the wings, the feathers of a dove. Continues the Gemara, Lefigov, therefore, Korin Oso Elisha Baal Tzofayim. That's why he's known, after that, he's known as Elisha the Baal Tzofayim. That was his name, he was known after that as Elisha, the person of the wings. So, sounds like an interesting story, but what's going on here? So I want to say, based a little bit on the Tzadok, the following idea. Okay? It goes like this. Everyone has the stickers. Okay? It goes like this. Lemaisa, the time of the Romans, the time of the Goyim after the Churban is, that Kodesh Baruch Hu divorced you. You claim you're Yaina, you claim that you have a Ziva with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you claim that you're intimately connected with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that it's never going to change. How Kodesh Baruch Hu kicked you out? There was a Churban, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, you were kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. There's no more connection between you and a Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's a terrible Gemara, right, the Churban. And remember what Gemara says, what Chitus does when he comes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Right? He's Mizanis, Megala Raius. There. What Chitus is really saying is that this place, which you think is a connection between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as far as I'm concerned, there's nuts. I can do whatever I want over here. There's no connections whatsoever. There's no Kedushas that Zivug in any way whatsoever. So therefore, the Gaim Mechlal, that's their Taina over and over and over again. You have no, what's the special relationship? You go Echad Ba'aretz, all these things, you're connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you talking about? It's not true. Right? Or as we said, as the Yevonim said by Chanukah, Kitzbu Lachem Al Keren Ashor, She'ein Lachem Chelek Be'elokei Yisrael. You're not connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you mean you're connected to Hashem? One of the signs of connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tzilin. The tefillin are, right, you put the tefillin on your head and you're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The yayna represents the connection between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the Romans came after, when the Romans were gazing and they said you're not allowed to wear tefillin, what they're saying was you can't show that you have this connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tefillin say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echadim. That Hashem is one. Anyone know HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin saying that? Kodesh Baruch Hu wears tefillin, right? Moshe Rabbeinu saw them. What do they say? Nika Amcha Yisrael, Goy Echad Ba'aretz. Right? The tefillin are, we say Hashem is one, and Hashem says we're one. And we're connected to each other. Says the Romans, you can't wear tefillin. Elisha's going to wear tefillin anyways. When the Roman comes to him and says, what do you have in your hands? What does Elisha respond? I have my connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have my Yoyim. That's what I have. My tefillin are my yoynasi tamasi. My tefillin are the yoyna that continue to represent the connection between Klal Yisrael and Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what the tefillin are. That even though we're in Golos, and even though the Romans can make whatever gzeiros they want, we're still connected with our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So he responds, Elisha, I have my yoyna. I have my dove that is this connection that exists between me and our Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what he responds. Kodesh Baruch Hu did a nace and allowed it to actually come true. Therefore, we in this Zmira, we also add another idea. One might think that Chalil Matan Torah. Matan Torah was 3,300 years ago. The Beis Mikdash is destroyed once. The Beis Mikdash has been destroyed twice. Klal Yisrael has been in Golos, wandering around the world, subject to all different kinds of inuyim and persecutions. And one might think that there's no more Yayna left. There's no more Yonasi Tamasi. So we remind ourselves that just like the Yayna ultimately found Manoah and found a place that they were able to create the Zivug, HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Shabbos, when we remind ourselves of the Zivug that exists between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should also get this Kayach. The Kayach of the Zivug that started in Matan Torah, we shouldn't lose it. It should remain and continue and should never disappear. So therefore, within reminding ourselves that we have the tzura of the Torah and we're connected to Hashem, it's a chizuk, to be mechazek us, v'val yavor v'am mikre ro, it should be chazek masnayim v'am etz koach, and we should be noisei la yo'ev chayim. That's the refrain that exists within this mirah to connect it to the idea of matan Torah that exists. Okay? What? Okay. Just one or two small things in this mirror that aren't directly relevant to this theme, but just to explain it. Okay, it goes like this. First of all, Hayanichwad Livne Amunim, Zihirim Lashamro, Avo Suvanim. So everyone knows what Avo Suvanim is, right? What is Avo Suvanim?
Fathers
and sons, right? Learning Torah on Shabbos. But obviously it's before that. It's interesting, if you think about Shabbos, Shabbos always talks about Avo Suvanim. In fact, Shabbos is even more. As far as I can think, Shabbos is kim'at the only mitzvah. I think it's the only mitzvah. For example, you say Kiddush on Shabbos morning, right? Shabbos is the Shabbos, Shabbos is Shabbos, right? Zochas yam Shabbos, Tav Shish, Arot Sikom Asaf, Yom Shiham, Lotata, Vochom, Locha, Ato, Vidcho, Vitecho, Avdecho, Motto, Vitecho, Vigerecho, Shem, Shemech. So the same in the Torah, you're not allowed to eat chazer, you and your children? No, there's no such thing, right? Does it say you have to keep Pesach for your children? It says you got to go with Israel. So it's not about keeping Pesach, right? Shabbos is always brought in connection with Arus Uvani. For example, Ishimo Arus Tirao, Vishabsai Tai Ishmo. Right? There's many connections, many places of connection between Shabbos and Arus Uvani. In the context of what we're saying over here, you can say the following. The idea of Arus Uvani means that there's a family. It means that there's a Yaira, there's a Zivu. When there are Avos Uvanim, as I mentioned earlier when you asked about the Orev, one of the reasons why the Orev is considered a Megala Rayos is because he doesn't take care of his kids, because he doesn't know who his kids are. He's not interested. I have no real connection. There's no Zivug over here. There happen to be children. So therefore, we emphasize over here Zirim Lashamra Avos Uvanim because of this, the Torah gives us a Surah that therefore allows us to have a connection of Avos Uvanim. That's a problem, okay? Because how many stones are there in the Luchos?
Two.
How's the Pashut Shah? How do we usually understand how the Luchos were written?
Same way both sides.
But there are two tablets, right? You have a headache, take two tablets and see me in the morning, right? So what's written on the two tablets? The Word of Man was written on both, right? It's not Chokuk Bishnei Luchos Avonim. It's Chokuk on one of the Luchos Avonim. Right? What does it mean? Chokuk b'shnei luchos avonim. It's engraved on both tablets. That's not what it means, right? What? It says Shabbos was engraved on both tablets. But the partial way we usually understand it is how. It was, right? In every shul, right? You have your depiction of the luchos, right? It says 1 through 5 on the first one, and 6 through 10 on the other one. So nice, it's not true. I mean, yet it's not true, it's machlokes. There is an opinion of the Yerushalmi that says that the Luchos had all 10 on one and all 10 on the other. So you could say that Rav Yehuda Levi is writing this mirror according to that opinion. There's another opinion which says the following. It says that the Luchos are parallel to one another. Luach 1 is made Adam La Moko, Luach 2 is made Adam La Chavela. The Luchos are parallel to one another in the sense that the Dibros reflect of the Bein Adam L'Mokh and the Bein Adam L'Chavek. Which number is Shabbos? Shabbos is, which Dibra? Number?
Four.
Right? Which is Dibra number 9? Hotzana v'reacha ein shokeh. Okay? You shouldn't give false testimony. What is Shabbos? Shabbos is an Eidos between Klal Yisrael and the Kodesh Baruch. So therefore, we say, Chokuk v'shnei luchos avonim, you say that Shabbos is in both, in the sense that the Dibra that's parallel to Shabbos on the other Luach also represents it. So there are two ways you can understand Chokuk v'shnei luchos avonim. Either there are 10 and 10, not like we're used to thinking, or each Dibra represents the other one. One last point, okay? Nasa v'nishma amru ke'echot, okay? Nasa v'nishma amru ke'echot means that everyone said Nasa v'nishma together. Is there such a chazal that says that? I don't know. Okay? But we know that the reference for Kabbalah to tell you the Yichan Shabbat Shalom connected at home, ki isha chod b'leibach. Right? We need achdus. How can you have achdus? True achdus only comes in terms of avodas Hashem. The only true achdus happens when people have no other goal other than to be avodas Hashem. Nasa v'nishma is a representation of saying, I have no personal goals whatsoever. I have no personal desires. I'm only going to do what Hashem wants. By definition, the only way, the only statement you can make in Echod is a statement of Na'as HaVinishna. So therefore, Na'as HaVinishna, Amu Echod, Ufasru, we honor Hashem Echod, we represent the Ach of Yisrael by the fact that we accept the Kodesh Baruch Hu completely, and therefore, Hashem Echod, Klal Yisrael is Echod, we can say Na'as HaVinishna. Okay? So we'll finish with that, and that is a little bit of understanding, I think, in very much.